about Judgment Day. And how, and you say, well, Pastor, if you preach on Judgment Day today, how's that going to help us right now? I'll explain that to you later. It'll help you out a lot. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And if the children in here, they're more than welcome to go next door and go to class this morning. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. I know a lot of us, when we think, there are certain topics that we talk about. I know when we talk about the topic of hell, it can be an awkward or an uncomfortable subject for a lot of us. But when you're saved and you understand what God has done for you, man, it'll just make you praise God, shout His name, and begin to raise your hands and be like, praise God. Because once you understand, see, we wouldn't know what grace is, right, if it wasn't for sin. Y'all with me? The reality of sin. So we're very thankful for what grace is. How many's ready to get into the Word?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9, and he can put it on the board. If you'd like to, put it on the screen. And this is a scripture that most of us Christians are familiar with. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. And the Bible says, for by grace. Everybody say, by grace.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And then it says, not of works. Everybody say, not of works. Lest anyone should boast. When we get to heaven, we will understand that it wasn't us that got us there. It was the blood of Jesus. Amen. Now, when Marcos was up here thanking God for the blood, I can relate to that. Because I understand that without the blood, I would have no chance at all. And so when we thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, man, we're just like, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. But the Bible says not of works. Everybody say that with me again. Not of works. How do we explain, I want y'all to listen closely, how do we explain that we are saved by grace but judged by works? You know, the Bible says that. The Bible says that every person will be judged according to our works. Well, how do we explain that we're saved by grace and not of works? Well, we need to know the difference between belief and behavior. I want you to listen closely, okay? Our belief determines where we spend eternity. Our behavior determines how we spend eternity. In heaven, we will be rewarded for our works. And in hell, people will be punished for their works. But depending upon where you go is dependent upon whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everybody say two judgments. There's two judgments in the Bible. There's the judgment seat of Christ, and then there's the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment, you don't want to be a part of, because that's where all unbelievers go to. But we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ, every person is a believer. Y'all got that? At the judgment seat of Christ, every person is a believer. At the great white throne judgment, every person is an unbeliever. See, your belief determines which judgment you're going to attend. And one day, here soon, we will all attend and stand before God on Judgment Day. At each judgment, your behavior, your works. Everybody say behavior, works. At each judgment, your behavior will be judged. I said all that to say this. It matters how you live. It matters. Your behavior matters. Now, I preach grace and I preach mercy and I preach, yes, praise God, we are saved by grace, not of works. Yes, that's the truth. But I'm telling you, the things that we do in this life, we will answer for it one day. Can I get an amen in the house today? Amen. We're saved, but our works do matter. What we do matters. And the Bible actually teaches that what we believe will eventually alter our behavior, how we behave. Now, His grace empowers us to want to serve Him. We are not saved by works. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But works do matter, and we will be judged. We will be judged by them. Now, grace people get upset at works people when they teach it wrong. Works people get upset at grace people when they teach it wrong, the wrong way. But I'm here to tell you that there is a balance of grace and works in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's talk about the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Oh, it's not showing up today? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. And this is what the Word of God says. For we must all, everybody say all. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one, everybody say each one, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Now, the Bible says this. It says that each one, in Romans chapter 14, everybody say, Pastor's laying a foundation this morning. He's laying a foundation. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. This is what he says. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the scripture that I read in 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians is actually the second letter that Paul wrote. So this letter is a response to a letter we don't have. There was actually another letter written. Now, if you'll notice, he begins some of these chapters with now concerning or an earlier letter. And these people in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, they are arguing on whether who or not led them to Christ. Was it Apollos? Was it Paul? And so the Corinthian church was in an argument. They were arguing. They were fussing with each other. And Paul is making the statement of, hey, don't be arguing about who or what was leading them to Christ. Jesus is the judge. That's what Jesus was saying. Listen, we're all the body of Christ. Amen? And so 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, it says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work. Everybody say, each one. Each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Now listen close. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Now, you can be a believer, and you can build upon wood, hay, or straw, or you can build upon gold, silver, and precious stones. See, wood will burn up, right? Hay will burn up. You can, as a believer, you can be doing works that last forever, or you could be doing temporal things that won't last forever, and you won't receive a reward for it. You will not receive a reward for it. Did you know you can do the right thing with the wrong motive? Did you know that? You say, Pastor, you got scripture to back that up? Of course I do. Of course, Matthew chapter 6. You can have the wrong attitude. See, God doesn't just judge the work, he judges the motive. Amen, church. He judges the motive. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Jesus said, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men just to be seen. Just to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory for men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. I want you to look at this verse here. It says, himself, he will reward you openly. When you get to heaven as a believer, and you don't do these things just to be seen. And that, how many knows there's people that do things just to be seen? When you get to heaven, the Lord personally, himself will reward you when you get to heaven as a believer. Because it says it right here in verse 5. It says that he himself will reward you openly. Now, he's not just going to get a whole group of people together and say, Y'all done good. He is going to he is personally going to reward you personally, and you will see him personally, and you'll see the scars in his hands and in his feet. Now, we'll get to meet him personally. I'm going to read a verse here, and I think a lot of people don't know about this verse, but in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, and we're fixing to read it here in just a minute, the Bible says that there will be believers when they get to heaven. There will be believers that will be ashamed. You say, Pastor, you got scripture for that? Yes, I do. 1 John chapter 2. You say, Pastor, this is not a feel-good message this morning. It's not a feel-good message. Well, we preach, how many knows we got to preach the word whether it feels good or not, right? Amen. Okay, 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. Now, he's talking to the church. Everybody say this. He's talking to the church. It's talking to believers. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, it says, "Now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." He is actually making the statement that believers can actually be ashamed when they get there. You'll make it to heaven, but there'll be some shame there. Why? Why will there be some shame there? Well, because they wasted their life. They believed in the Lord, but they didn't serve in the kingdom of God. They didn't give. They didn't believe in giving. They didn't want to serve. They thought, well, if I just attend church and not get involved and obey God and obey the call of my life, if I can just be a pew warmer, then there will be people, believers, that will go to heaven and they'll be ashamed. And God will say this: why didn't you follow? Why didn't you obey the call that I put on your life? Why didn't you get into children's ministry like I wanted you to? Why didn't you become an evangelist like I told you to? Y'all with me? Now, I'm not preaching at this moment in context of salvation. I'm preaching in context of service. And there'll be a lot of believers. Listen, when we get there, God's going to ask them questions. He's going to say, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you listen to me? And there'll be people ashamed. And you say, well, Pastor, why are you telling us this morning? I thought you didn't preach a condemning message. I thought you wasn't here to preach condemnation. I thought you was here to preach grace. No, I'm here to preach grace, but I'm here to let you know that what you do right now, it matters. Amen. God's going to ask this question too. Why didn't you witness to that person you knew all your life and you didn't even tell them about Jesus? And you didn't even talk to them about God? He's going to ask those questions. Believers, I'm preaching this morning. If you're a believer in Christ, you need to obey the call that God has put on your life. You're not called to sit back on the sidelines. You need to get in the game now. You need to get in the game and stop getting on the sidelines and say, well, I'll let somebody else do it, or I'll let somebody else do it. You're going to lose your reward. A lot of us will have excuses one day. We'll give excuses to God. Well, God, I thought somebody else would do it. I thought they would do it. No, God is calling you. God is calling you to do it. Well, I wish somebody would witness to that person and tell that person about God. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. Now, there's a lot of us. We're believers, but man, we're living in sin like it's going out of style. Yeah, like it is in style, I mean. Right? Now, you got to make a decision. Everybody say this with me. I am responsible for my actions. Nobody else is. You are responsible for your actions. You can't blame anyone else. A long time ago, there was a game show. His name was Flip Wilson. Those older people might remember it. He'd always say this: the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Nobody made you do it. You did it on your own choice, your free will. But, everybody say, but. If you own up to it and say, yeah, Lord, I failed. I did this. But I want to change my life and I want to make better decisions for myself and for my family. And I want my life to glorify you. Because I want a testimony. Listen, your testimony is not how bad you was. Your testimony is how good God is. Amen. And so, listen, since Jesus saved me, and since he saved me from hell and from sin and from myself, I think I want a good witness for my life. I don't want to be out here with a beer bottle in my hand, everybody looking at me, saying, well, if pastor says it's okay, then it's okay if I do it. I don't want to be out here cussing on Facebook. Y'all with me this morning? I don't want to be out here sharing dirty laundry on Facebook or anything. Man, I want a good witness so everybody can see, wait a minute, God is real. Amen, church. Listen, if God has saved us and we really believe that, guys, let's change our act up a little bit and say, you know what? I'm going to change the way I talk, and I'm making this decision today. I'm going to change what I do, right? I'm going to change the crowd I hang out with. I'm going to change these things because one day I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Right? I'm going to stand before him. Guys, how you live, it does matter. It does matter how you live. What you say does matter. Because I've been, as you all know, I've been preaching grace a lot. And I'm preaching grace today. But I want you to understand, man, what you do today, when you leave church today, listen, it ain't what you do in here, it's what you do out there. On your job, when someone's got a phone and they're trying to get you to look at a dirty picture, what are you going to do? You going to look at it and laugh? Or are you going to turn away and say, my eyes are not for that? Holiness. Everybody say holiness. Amen. See, we should be happy that we're getting this truth today. Guys, how we live. If we claim, listen, the Bible says everyone who confesses Jesus to be the Lord and Savior, let them depart from iniquity. Let them depart from sin. Amen, church. Right? We want a good witness. A good witness. Because people are watching us. Because there's not many people reading this. But guess who else they're reading? You. They're reading you. It does matter what you say. Even when nobody else is looking. Even when no one else is looking. It matters. It matters. And I don't want to be ashamed. Listen, don't waste your life. What are you going to do? You going to waste it on the worldly things of this? This worldly things, don't waste your life. Do everything to the glory of God. Amen, church. Amen. Don't live in sin. Get rid of your sin. Judgment is coming one day. It's coming to us. It's coming to every one of us. And one thing I need to address, and I haven't addressed it in a long time, but I see this starting to happen more and more today. And guys, I know this is not popular. Everybody say, the pastor is preaching out of love today. I'm preaching out of love, okay? But I see this happening more and more. And I'm preaching against sin this morning because I have to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? Guys, listen. I want listen to me closely, okay? Living in sin, we know God won't bless that. We know that. When you're disobeying God and you know it's wrong, but yet you're doing it, it ain't going to bring glory to God. But guys, listen, God loves marriage. Y'all with me? Amen. He loves marriage, and he wants us to do it his way. He wants us to do it his way. If we don't do it, if we don't do marriage his way, because I see this a lot of times, people say, well, we're already married. We're already married. It's fine. We're living together. We're doing it. Guys, I'm here to tell you, as your pastor, it's wrong. It's wrong. And I know that they have that word, they call it, shacking up, which I don't use that word anymore. But guys, God won't bless, and I say this, it's pretty bold of me saying it this morning. God won't bless the relationship if you don't do it his way. God won't bless a mess. If you're having sex before marriage, God won't bless that relationship. Y'all with me? Are you with me this morning? Do it God's way. You say, well, pastor, doesn't God forgive? Yes, he forgives. Yes, God forgives. He forgives us all. There's redemption. There's mercy for us. There's grace for us. But guys, you got to do it God's way. And that's how we got in that's how we got into problems in the first place, because we don't do it God's way. And this is what we do. Well, it was somebody else's fault. It was so-and-so's fault. No, it's you. take responsibility for it and say, God, I want to do it the right way. I want to serve God the right way. Because I'm telling you guys, I know this is not a popular message, but you got to quit living in sin and say, you know what? I'm making a decision today. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to live in sin. I'm making a change. Y'all with me? Even if that person don't agree with you, because you're serving God, not them. Get rid of the sin in your life. It's very dangerous. Very dangerous. Get rid of it. Jesus said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven. Do you know there's degrees of punishment? There is. There's degrees of rewards in heaven. There's degrees of punishment in hell. Can you prove that, Pastor? Of course. I never preach anything that I can't back up in Scripture. Amen? We back it up with Scripture. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Will a committed believer and an uncommitted believer, will they receive the same reward when they get into heaven? No. No, they won't receive the same. They'll get to heaven, but they won't receive the same reward. It's important for us to understand this. See, God is just. God will recompense believers and unbelievers according to our works. So if a believer gives, serves, and obeys God's call on his life, and quit going back and forth, but stays forward, stays true to God, listen, there's a reward. A great reward. Did you know, I don't have a whole lot of time to get into it, but in Luke 19 it talks about how there's cities in heaven, and that God will appoint rulers. Listen guys, we just got an inkling and just a surface of what it'll be like in heaven. And there'll be rewards given. And some of us may be ashamed when we get there. But listen, listen to me closely. Don't be the believer who doesn't obey the call of God on their life and be the one who's ashamed when you stand before Him. It won't be a happy time. It won't be a happy time. Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. It says this, Revelation 20, verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open." Everybody notice the books. That's where your works are recorded, which is the book of life. "And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades, hell, delivered up the dead who were in them." Get this, listen. "And they were judged, each one, according to his works." Everybody won't get the same rewards in heaven. You'll make it to heaven, but everybody won't get the same rewards. Now, let me ask you this question. Will an unbeliever who does not give his life to Jesus, but he's a good man, moral man. He's an unbeliever, but he's moral. He's a good man. He'd give you the coat off his back. He's a good old boy, right? But he hasn't accepted Jesus. Will he receive the same punishment as a murderer or a rapist? There's degrees. Let me read this scripture to you. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew, listen, Hitler will be recompensed for his works. Unbelievable. They will be recompensed for their works. Matthew chapter 11, and I've just got a couple of scriptures here, and then I got some things I need to tell you this morning that we really need to take this seriously. Matthew chapter 11, verse 21. Jesus said this. This blew me away when I read the scripture. Jesus said, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Get this. "But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment for you." These cities that Jesus was talking about, they're not there anymore. You know what Jesus was saying in that scripture passage? He said, if I would have walked through Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. But he told these cities here, listen, You're beyond that. And there was, he said this. Let me read it again so that way we'll get it. Let me see if I can find it. This is what he says in verse 24. Everybody say degrees of punishment. And he says, but I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you. Now, I don't preach fear. But guys, I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to be punished as an unbeliever. And you say, well, Pastor, why are you preaching a sermon this morning that is so hard to preach? Because this is the sermon that the devil doesn't want anyone to know. Because if he can keep us from talking about hell, and if he can keep us from talking about judgment day, and if he can keep us talking from these things that don't make us feel good, man, he's done his job. But if I can warn you with all of my heart, and I would stand here all day long, 24 hours a day, pleading with you, run to the Lord, run to safety, run to Him. He is your safe place. He is your rescue. Because where you're going now and what you're doing now, it is not helping you at all if you're in sin. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what Jesus was saying here. Jesus himself, listen, Jesus was doing miracles. Could you imagine this? Jesus himself standing here, just imagine him. If he was here and he was doing miracles and he was preaching the word and yet still reject him. Still say no to him. There's punishment for unbelievers. Punishment. You must believe. Jesus said you must be born again. Must be born again. Romans chapter 2 verse 5 says this. I want you to listen closely. But it says, but in accordance with your hardness, and he's talking about unbelievers. Everybody say unbelievers. But in accordance with your hardness and your unrepentant heart, you are, there it is. It's on the wall. You are treasuring up. Is that present? You are treasuring it up for yourself. Wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. God is just, right? The righteous judgment of God. There will be a day of wrath at the revelation when He comes again, when we go to stand before Him. Listen, if you're an unbeliever and you're not taking God seriously, and you keep sinning over and over again, thinking God overlooks it, you better change your mindset. You better change your mind about God. Listen, if you keep doing that, look, you're treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath in revelation of the righteous judgment of God. That's degrees, guys. It's different degrees of punishment. Listen, don't treasure up for yourself wrath. Give your life to God now. God tells you to witness. God tells you to do these things. Do it now. Don't wait. Don't put it off. I'm young. I've got enough time. Listen, there's plenty of 20-something-year-olds that get killed every day out there. You with me? Quit putting off the call of God. Get rid of the sin. Get rid of it. If you really wanted to get rid of it, you would get rid of it. I'm serious this morning. If you really understood the intensity and the reality of the righteous judgment of God, man, you would fear and you would get down on your knees and say, God, I can't do it, but help me right now. I don't care what I have to go through. I don't care what. Lord, help me if I have to cut off relationships, if I have to stop going to the same place. I need to get rid of sin in my life. Well, everybody else is doing it, and that's why you're in the mess you're in. Amen, church. Amen. God is holy, and God is just, and He's full of grace, and He's full of mercy. But look what this says. It says that God is a righteous judge. And look, it says there's holy wrath. I don't want you to experience the holy wrath. But Jesus, somebody say amen. Jesus took the wrath that we should have got on the cross of Jesus Christ. And you say, Pastor, you talk about the cross too much. You talk about the blood. You can't talk about the cross too much. You can't talk about the blood too much because you understand that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, that you can stand before Him in context of salvation. But if you're an unbeliever, man, if you're not even sure you're saved this morning, I wouldn't even want to leave this building. I'd say, Pastor, I want to give my heart to you, to God. I want to give my heart. I want a heart change. I'm serious. This is a matter of life and death. We're not promised tomorrow. Boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you don't know what tomorrow brings. You really don't know. So what should we do in light of this? As believers, what should we do in light of this? Well, we need to be involved in church. We need to be involved with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need to be giving. We need to be serving. Right? But listen, I work for the reward, not just for the reward, but I'm working for it because Jesus did the work of salvation for me already. And because I understand that, I'm like, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. If you're leading me to do this, if you want me to do this, I'll do it because you saved me. Do y'all remember that illustration I shared with you last, I believe it was last Sunday, about the man drowning in the ocean and he throws out the lifesaver, right? Now imagine this. Imagine this is you and you're out in the ocean and you're drowning. And then all of a sudden this guy shows up out of nowhere and he throws out this lifesaver, right? And you're like, man, this is a miracle. There's no way this could have happened. This must be God. So you grab it. He pulls you in. Well, your natural response would be, what can I ever do to repay you? Well, you can't repay Him because He saved your life. But this is what else you'll say. What can I do for you? Y'all see that? Because now you're wanting to work for God. What does the Bible say in Matthew 5, verse 16? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your works and glorify the Father in heaven. Believer, if I was you and you confess the Lord, you confess Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I'd run away from that sin as fast as I could and say, we need to make it right now. I would. I really would. Because people are watching your life. And you know what some people, if you're a believer, if you're living in sin and people are watching your life, you know what they're going to say? You know what some of them will probably say? Well, you claim to be a Christian, yet you're living in sin and you're doing all this junk. Why would I want to be that? I've got enough problems on my own. Am I preaching this morning?
Yes.
Whom the Son has set free is truly free indeed. Get away. Run as fast as you can. Run. Run, abstain from the appearance of evil, the Bible says. Do you know the Bible says that? Abstain from it. Get away from it. You say, well, I'm tempted real easy. Well, who ain't tempted real easy? But you keep going back and keep going back. Run from it. Abstain from it. There is a righteous judgment coming. Obey God. And run to the mercy that God has. How many knows about Noah's Ark? Everybody knows Noah's Ark. Know the story, right? 120 years Noah preached, and there was not one convert. That should be an encouragement to some of us who have never led anybody to the Lord, right? 120 years he preached, not a single convert. And the Lord, and it says the Lord shut him up in the ark, him and his family. And people experienced the judgment of God, that flood that came in. Guys, that door's going to be shut here one day soon. And you better take God seriously. And you better take this kingdom, this church stuff, you better take it seriously. You better take your families. Dads, you better take your children seriously. Their kids, you need to raise them up in church. Husbands, you need to take your spouse seriously and lead your family like you're called to lead them. And don't say, well, whatever she wants to. No, lead. Lead them spiritually and say, we're reading the Bible. We're studying the Bible. We're going to go to church. We're going to give. We're going to serve. Because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to let anything happen in my house. I'm not going to let junk happen in my house. This house belongs to God. Amen, church. It belongs to God. Right? Everybody say, enough is enough. Guys, if it's sin and you know it's sin, stop it. Stop it. Amen. How many loves me this morning? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The door will be shut one day. And I don't want to treasure up for myself wrath. Do you? Do you want to treasure up for yourself wrath in the day? No way. No way. I want to run to the grace of God and the mercy of God. Believers, listen. You can store up. Jesus said, store up your treasures in heaven, right? Store up your... Well, if believers can store up their treasures in heaven, don't you think unbelievers can store up punishment in hell? Absolutely. Absolutely. Run to the cross of Jesus Christ. Run to the cross. Believers will be rewarded, and unbelievers will be punished for their works on this earth. You get to choose which judgment you attend. You get to choose either the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment. The Bible says in Hebrews, it is appointed to man once to die. And after this, the judgment. And listen, it's not enough to say, well, I believe in Jesus from your head, right? You need to be able to believe in Jesus in your heart and have a true life change in your life. Amen. See, God wants a true decision. A true decision. Amen? Knowledge of the future controls activity in the present. How many has ever seen a kid, and I have, and I was one of those kids, that whenever I'd get a whipping, right, I would try to explain myself out of it. I would say, let me talk to you a minute. Let me tell you how all this went down. But it was too late. It was too late. I got the whipping anyway. It was too late. There's going to be unbelievers. When you stand before God and you see Him, you're going to try to explain yourself. And you're going to try to talk yourself out of it and say, well, you don't understand. God, you don't understand some of what I went through. You don't understand. God understands. And if you're the one that's trying to talk yourself out of it, when you stand before Him, He's going to tell you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That means He never even had a relationship with you in the first place. I never knew you. I'm not talking about backsliding. I'm talking about He never had a relationship with you. When you make a decision to follow Christ Jesus, it is a true decision. And you're not going to live. You're not going to live in that open, blatant sin anymore. Now, I'm not saying we're not going to make mistakes. I make them all the time. Pastor, you preaching perfection? No. I'm not preaching perfection. But I am preaching this. If it's open, blatant, or even private sin that's continual, get rid of it now. If it's a drinking problem, if it's a sex problem, if it's a drug problem, if it's a gambling, I don't care what it is, get rid of it today. Amen. And you say, well, I don't know if I need to go up front and pray now because everybody's going to know who I am. All have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. You broke one law, you broke them all, the Bible says. We've all committed adultery. We've all stole. We've all lied. It's offensive to preach that message, isn't it? You call me a liar? Well, yeah, you lied before. We've all lied. We've all failed before God. And that should drive us to the cross and say, you know what? I need the cross of Jesus Christ in my life every day. Because if it had not been for Him, where would I be? This is a serious, serious thing. Don't be the person who's trying to explain. Listen. Let Him say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Everyone look at me. Don't live as though you're going to live here forever. Every day, look, as you can tell, I'm getting older every day. Amen. Older every day. Every day. Soon, if the Lord tarries, I'm going to go by the way of the grave. which if you see me in a casket or whatever, that's not me. Just to let you know. Because my spirit went to be with the Lord. I don't know how much longer you have left. All of you, I don't know. Don't, and I'm going to say this, don't leave today if you don't have a relationship with God and you're not sure. Please, please, don't leave. And if you're a believer today and you're not obeying the call of God on your life, run to the altar, get prayer, make it right today. And say, hey, I believe in Jesus, but I want to commit to the call of God on my life. Amen. But I know what some of us are thinking. Well, if you knew what I did in the past, if you knew, quit it with the excuses. All right? If you knew what I did, you knew how bad I was, just quit it. The blood of Jesus is stronger than your excuses. You with me? Stronger than your problems. It's time for you, believers. It's time for you to walk into the call of God. It's time for you to step into the call that God has for you today. Amen? And God ain't raising up people to be just pew warmers, right? He's raising us up to say, you know what? I'm going to go outside the four walls. I'm going to live my life for God. And if it's wrong, amen, church? And if it's wrong, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to turn around and go the other way. I'm going to truly repent. Amen. And I'm going to follow God for the rest of my days. Amen. Got a question for you. Aren't you tired of living in sin? It's wearing you out. You're not getting any rest. Today's the day you can lay all that aside. You can lay it aside and say, you know what? Today, I'm living for Jesus Christ. I may not be perfect, and it may take me a little time, but today I'm making decisions to get my life back on track. Because I need to be back on track. You need to be back on track. You with me? So Jesus, I'm going to give you a picture of what the Father's doing, okay? This is what the Father's doing right now. He's got his arms wide open. You're still breathing. Hallelujah. And he's saying, come to me. Let me love you. Let me show you mercy. Let me show you grace. Because I'm going to love you. This is what God's saying, okay? Because I'm going to love you so much that you won't want to go back to that old, junky, restless life that you once lived. No more! Amen. No more dating from this person, that person, that person. No more. You're going to wait on God. You'll know who it is.
Yes, hallelujah.
No more. No more of the drama. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
No more of the gossip and the junk that goes on and the argument. It's over with. I'm making a decision today that's going to affect me and impact me for the rest of my life. And I won't have to go back to the same thing again. Because I'm in true repentance to God. And you know what? And God says, I love you so much that I want you to be honest with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. To show transparency. Everybody say honesty. To show honesty and transparency and accountability. And there's people praying right now. And if you feel the Lord calling you up here, come. If the Lord's calling you right now, come. This altar is open, but I want to tell you this. We need to be accountable to each other. And you know what? When we mess up and we make a mistake, we should be able to tell our brothers and sisters. And we're there to pick each other up and to help us go forward. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to be fearful of telling someone else what you've been going through. You don't have to be fearful for it, because you know what? We're not here to judge. We're here to help. We're going to leave the judging up to God. But our job is to love each other. Everybody say love.
Love.
Our job is to love each other and to help each other and to encourage each other. But we're going to leave the judging up to God. Amen? We're going to leave it up to Him. Because He's the righteous judge. And we're going to love people. So they won't have to go to the great white throne judgment. Amen, church? We're going to love you. Confess your sin. Welcome to the place where it's okay to not be okay. But it's not okay to stay that way. You with me? God loves you. I love you. If you're an unbeliever and you're not saved, get saved. I don't know what else to say this morning to tell you any differently. I preached it as plain as I could. Get saved. Get right with God. Don't linger. Don't prolong the matter. If you're a believer and you haven't been walking in the call of God that He's put on your life, come. Come to the altar. Make it right. Say, God, I want to be rewarded. I want to seek you. Let's all stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your salvation. And Father, we believe that no matter what we've done, no matter what we go through, that you're here for us. And Father, knowing the future, knowing what will happen in the future, Lord, should propel us to live for you, God. And Father, we give you the praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. This altar is open as Elijah sings this morning. This altar is open for believers and unbelievers, whatever need you have. This altar is open. Come. Don't prolong it.